Good morning, fellow students, and welcome back to Legacy Weapon, your guide to the Legacy format. I am Jamie Keller.
And I'm Drew Walton.
We are your guide to getting into Legacy, getting better at it, learning the decks. And we are, as always, hosted on GatheringMagic.com. We are sponsored by CoolStuffInc.com. Now, we promised you that we would be doing Maverick Deck Tech Part 2 today, and I'm sure you're all here for that. And there's a reason why we've stopped promising what we're going to do next episode, because we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Drew, you're a filthy liar.
Yeah, this is totally my fault that Wizards decided to announce a big announcement.
Well, there was a big announcement, and we decided to bring on a guest. And I guess we could talk about Maverick still, but I think that'd be rude to just leave our guest sitting in the corner in silence while we talk, don't you think?
Probably. I mean, right. I don't know.
We have here Corbin from the Brainstorm Brewery podcast. He has excellent knowledge on MTG finance, which is something we don't have, and just a lot of general experience. Hello, Corbin.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Thanks a ton for having me on. I'm, you know, looking forward to being here and, you know, try not to sound too stupid at least.
No.
Well, thanks for coming.
We are merely the least stupid among the people who know nothing, so that's why we have the podcast in the first place. We bring you on as actual knowledge. So tell us a little bit about.
Not to put any pressure on you or anything.
But, right, exactly.
Well, you know, we have the running gag that I'm the guru because I say things that sound smart, and Drew is the Sherpa because he carries the entire show. You're now supposed to do both of those jobs, and we are the tourists who almost die on the ascent. That's kind of where we're at.
That's an interesting analogy. Analogy, but I appreciate the commitment to the analogy. That's good.
Yeah, it's carried us through pretty well. Tell us a little bit about you, your show, and your history, whatever.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm Corbin Hostler. I started Brainstorm Brewery. It's been, probably 4 years ago now with Marcel and Ryan and Jason, and we're on Gathering Magic as well, and been going strong. I also do event coverage for Wizards of the Coast. I write monthly articles for Daily MTG. I write weekly on MTG Price, and I manage all the content there. So definitely stay pretty busy in Magic. I would say I'm pretty deep in, but I enjoy it. I try to stay busy and stay as plugged in as possible. And, you know, just I'm all around when it comes to Magic these days.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I just today you had an article go up. I read that and enjoyed that. Tried to explain to my wife why I was excited to have you on the show, and she didn't get it. But that's fine. That's just fine.
Yeah, I try not to explain. My wife just, things are going well. Magic stuff, great, and that's all she really wants to know.
That's pretty much it here too. Okay, please don't reschedule the recording again, because I'm finally okay with this time for you to do the recording. Don't change
it. Right, exactly.
That's about where we're at. So when did you start in Magic, I guess?
Okay. I guess the first time I actually picked up a Magic card would have been, it was my freshman year of college. This would have been Shards of Alara era. I had never played. I remember when I was a kid and I used to go play Pokemon League up at Toys R Us or, go to the other stores for a Pokemon tournament. I'd see some people in the corner playing Magic and I had no idea what it was. But I'd heard that it was a demonic game.
So, yes.
Yeah. You know, actually, when my friend first introduced me to the game, my parents would not let me own any cards myself because the people at the game store locally told them that it was like Dungeons and Dragons. And this was back when there was the media hype that Dungeons and Dragons would make your children commit suicide. And though you did just, I think, make me and probably make Drew feel really old telling us how old you were.
I got started late. That's for sure.
All right. So we had a big announcement, which we alluded to in the show notes, but it was coming out like the day after we recorded the prior episode, so we couldn't really talk about it on the air. Drew, what happened? You finally get to tell us some news. You never get to tell us any news.
Exciting, shiny thing. So Wizards announced that they are releasing a product called Eternal Masters this summer, which is kind of like Modern Masters. It's a premium box full of all reprints, but this time it will be all stuff that is legal in the Eternal formats, Vintage and Legacy. This is very exciting because they've told us two cards that they're going to reprint in this, and they are Wasteland and Force of Will, which are kind of important.
Yeah, we've talked about both of those as being, you know, if you want cards that are useful in a lot of Legacy decks, those are probably your good starting point.
We have no idea what else is going to be reprinted in this, but we know at least maybe two of the most important cards and two fairly expensive cards at that are going to get reprinted.
Yeah. Now, beyond that, you've tuned in just for base speculation, so buckle in. But you will note that Force of Will was being printed at Mythic, and Wasteland was being printed at Rare, despite the fact that they were both originally uncommons. Nah. So take that for what it's worth. Now, there has been a lot of excitement about this. I'm really stoked for a lot of reasons. But Corbin, why don't you tell us kind of your thoughts, your initial thoughts on it?
I'm all about it. I think this is great. The thing about Legacy, and we understand what the reserve list is, and there's something that can be done about that, but a lot of the cards are pricey, not just because of how good they are or anything like that, but just because of scarcity. Mm-hmm. You know, a card like Force of Will and Wasteland, I mean, those are the perfect examples. They're uncommons, but they're extremely expensive because they're, you know, however, whatever, 10 to 15 years old or older. Like everything past 10 years ago is sort of all one monolithic time period to me. But regardless, they're older. And that really does apply to a lot of cards in Legacy. So I'm looking at Eternal Masters as hopefully a product that, you know, sure, if we get some fun drafts, that'll be great. If there's good value to pull from them, you know, that's awesome too. But it's just a chance to put more cards out there that just don't exist. You never see a lot of these cards out in the wild just because of how old they are. So that's what I'm most looking forward to, is just getting our hands on some of the stuff that people haven't been able to open a pack in 15 years.
Right. And one thing is, more or less every release on average has been the biggest release to that date. So that can just tell you, I'm going to make up numbers because they do not release the numbers, but there's probably more Siege Rhinos at Rare than there are Force of Wills, even though they were uncommon, just because there was not nearly as much alliance.
For sure.
Certainly.
Now the real question, are there more like of a mythic in the new set as Force of Wills in existence? And that's a question. You know, are there more Jace Vryn's prodigies than Force of Wills?
I think it depends on the set. I've seen some numbers crunched on these, and definitely the print runs of the sets have gone up over time by a large margin, although some of the old sets were also
overprinted.
I mean, they weren't all printed at the same size print runs. Like Ice Age had a very large print run. Some newer sets like, say, Future Sight had an infinitesimal print run, which is part of the reason Tarmogoyf is so freaking expensive. So it's kind of all over the map, I think. Yeah.
They have confirmed that this is only going to be a set of reprints. I had some very baseless speculation that maybe they'd be throwing in some brand new cards in also to try to give gifts to the vintage people. But yeah, that's not to be. They did say it was designed to be drafted, but they are not giving us a draft Grand Prix for this set. So I'm not a big drafting person, so I don't really know what that means. But my impression means that they've made it that it will play well with itself, but they're not especially concerned about whether it's a perfect draft format or not. Is that what the two of y'all kind of take from their announcements?
Yeah, I think that they want it to be very similar to Modern Masters. Hopefully Modern Masters 1, more so than Modern Masters 2. Modern Masters 2, they really made some concessions to Limited, whereas in Modern Masters 1, it was more, here's a sweet set, and, you know, you can play it in Limited. That's certainly what I'm hoping for, is a very heavily based set around the reprints, and the draft is sort of this thing that comes along with it, but it's not the focus.
Yeah.
What I'll say, I mean, I drafted both Modern Master sets, and maybe it's because I just drafted some stupid stuff, but I thought the first Modern Master set was actually a lot of fun to play in draft. Even though, as you said, they were more focused on just reprinting sweet cards than on making it a good limited set. So I feel like I am not concerned that the limited experience is going to be bad with this. I think it'll be a lot of fun to draft. I love opening really sweet cards, even if I end up not doing well in draft. So, I'm excited.
Yeah. And my initial thought with this, the first thing I say is, can we please get people to stop saying the Wizards doesn't support Legacy? Can we please just get people to stop saying that?
Well, that's certainly not true now.
No, but I'm still seeing it. I saw it today, and I saw somebody else yesterday, and somebody else the day before saying it with straight face seriousness. Okay. Do they support Legacy with as much effort and outlets as they do Modern or Standard? No. But they do support it. It has Grand Prix. It now has
this
Legacy.
It's a giant step forward, though. I mean, yeah, this giant step.
It is now,
I mean, because obviously there was one Modern Masters, then there was another one. Presumably there will be a third and so on. The existence of one Eternal Masters, assuming it sells well, which I'd be shocked if it doesn't, will probably
I'd be dazed.
Existence of more, which means that, I mean, now, you know, we talk about how Modern is kind of a format that Wizards is kind of pushing. Well, I mean, if they're printing a bunch of Eternal Masters sets, I would say we can now say that Legacy is a format that they're pushing too. So,
right. And they have, I mean, we just talked very briefly last episode about how they started Legacy Leagues on Magic
right?
Online.
Yeah,
they started every other month, relatively huge Legacy tournament on Magic Online.
Yeah, this is the last month or so has been huge. I would say as of a month ago, that statement was kind of justifiable.
It was
Legacy
an exaggeration,
kind of like an afterthought.
Yeah,
it wasn't that they didn't support it at all, but it was definitely much less supported than Modern and certainly than Standard.
Right.
But now
I think
the gap is closing.
Yeah, I think that people took the wrong impression of Modern from the beginning. The dilemma Wizards faced when Legacy got very popular is that they needed a format that did not have the reserve list. Simple. So they created Modern. And it makes sense that Modern was becoming very popular. They need to print stuff for it. Oh, we're going to do Modern Masters. And it sells well. And they do a lot of Modern events. And because that's a format that is easy for them to support because more people can play it.
Right.
And people mistook that for them completely pulling the rug on Legacy. I've had so many people be like, well, if Modern is the format they're pushing, why are they doing Eternal Masters? Well, for starters, it's not called Legacy Masters. There are a lot of cards. They're going to have cube cards in this, I'm sure. Stuff like Crucible Worlds. Yeah, it's played a little in Legacy or whatever, but that's a card I would expect to have, certainly hope so, with the price tag it has.
Very
and that's
possible.
More targeted at Commander or Cube.
Or Damnation.
Sure. I mean,
maybe, finally.
Commander is an Eternal format, too. That's true. I mean, certainly it wouldn't be a shock to see some Commander-heavy cards.
Right, and I think that's why they call it, you know, it's Eternal Masters, not Legacy Masters.
Well, there are also some vintage cards that don't see Legacy play. And I mean, obviously, the reserve list is a big factor in that, but there are some other ones that you could imagine getting printed as for vintage, too.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Drain so Mana, I know is...
Mana Drain, I was going through all the cards that are on the reserve list, and that was actually, I was shocked. I just was sure that was on the reserve list, and...
Yeah, the only problem with Mana Drain, and this is sort of ironic, I guess, is how expensive it is and how few it appeals to. Because you can't play it in Legacy, so people, it's obviously a card that would be focused on Vintage and or, you know, everywhere else.
Commander.
But it's so expensive, right, it's so expensive it jacks up. They can only do, and this is something that a lot of people don't think about, you can only sort of do so much with the value in the set. Because if it's too much, then dealers jack the price up on it. No one's happy with that. Everything just sells out on this limited print run. So
sure.
They have to actually try to match the MSRP or it just becomes unaffordable to players. Not just expensive, but unaffordable. So it's
Which
a kind really
of did
fine
happen
line.
To a certain extent with the first Modern Masters set.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't clear, everybody, this is topical and this is a little deep. And though I feel like we've been saying a lot lately, this is another advanced class of Legacy Weapon. We try to not talk about cards or concepts that we haven't really gone over in detail. But if we wanted to try to talk about every single one of these cards that's on the reserve list, we just don't have enough time. You know, Corbin doesn't have time.
Well,
so
don't worry about Mana Drain. It's banned in Legacy anyway. So
maybe we'll talk about that later in the episode then, Drew.
That's possible. Could be foreshadowing. We should mention what the reserve list is, though. I'm not sure that we discussed that in our show.
Yeah, yes, we did, because we sang about it last episode.
Oh, I guess we did. That's true.
For anyone who didn't catch that, the reserve list, which was the next thing I want to talk about, actually, is cards that Wizards of the Coast has declared they will never reprint. Originally, it was we'll never reprint in a core normal set. We can do promos. So some of them have promos. But since then, they've doubled down and said, no promos, no nothing, no functional reprints, which
– In paper.
In paper. Which is why on Magic Online, the dual lands, for example, they're on the reserve list, are $2 each for some of them because they can reprint them, and they did. But why they are very expensive in the real world because they never will be reprinted. brings me to my next point. You know, after I just got excited about, you know, they're supporting Legacy, people will see Legacy, new players will come to Legacy. My first thought was, you know, this is going to drop the prices on a lot of cards that people are having trouble getting their hands on. Force of Will is going to be Mythic, so that price might not drop much, but there's going to be more Force of Wills out there. You might luck and open one yourself, and even if you don't, there will just be more in the market.
Your buddy already has a playset, might trade you one. Yeah.
Right. You know, the availability, the number of people, the number of stores, you know, just the, I know, Drew, you did economics in school. You can.
Right. It's a supply and demand, right? I mean, you know, demand presumably is going to remain roughly consistent.
Hold that thought, but pretend that that's where we all Wizards is doing a change in the supply. They're increasing the supply. You know, they aren't directly changing demand.
Price goes down. That's economics. Yes.
Price goes down. So that's my first thought. And I'm really excited because the whole premise of this show is get more people into the format, make it more accessible, show people how to make it accessible. Well, you know, one of our things is if you're on a budget, pick something that doesn't have Wasteland. Well, now you can have your Wastelands. Now that just opens up whole new avenues or makes it easier to be competitive. Right. The second thought, though, and a lot of people worried about this, are cards becoming more expensive. So why don't the two of y'all talk about how that might happen, or maybe how it's already happened and this show's too late?
Well, yeah, it's obviously dual lands have gotten more expensive, and basically everything on the reserve list has. We've seen buyouts on everything that's on the reserve list. I mean,
everything playable anyway. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, that's the issue, I would say, and that's the problem with Legacy that's always existed since the reserve list has existed. If the format becomes more popular, the reserve list cards cannot be printed to match it. And that's just the reality. You know, there will be more copies of certain cards out there like Force of Will and Wasteland and whatever else we get. I mean, if we get Sinsize Divining Top, will probably be rare, not uncommon. And like it was originally, but that's a great one to have in hands. Yeah. And people will have a lot of pieces they need, but that cost does go somewhere, and it's going to get eaten up by cards on the reserve list. We've seen Lion's Eye Diamond bought out. Yeah. We've seen the dual lands all spike. Yeah. And I'm not sure that there's
no
any way around
it. Lurin is up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the thing, though, that I take away from that, and that's – I mean, that's bad. I don't want prices to go up. You know, we will probably have an entire episode on the reserve list, and we're kind of doing it here. But, you know, that is a downside. But correct me if I'm wrong. Those prices only go up due to the increased demand, right? Almost only because of an increase in demand.
Correct. I mean, the way I feel like the reason that the dual lands are going to be more expensive, for example, is that now everybody expects, hey, remember what happened when Modern Masters got printed? A whole bunch of people bought into Modern who hadn't been playing Modern recently, and all the cards that hadn't been reprinted got really expensive. So obviously we don't know what's in Eternal Masters yet, but we know that the dual lands won't be in it. So we can expect that those are going to go up. But the thing is, I mean, you know, if people are buying into the format, it's because it's now cheaper to do so. So you can't have – so whatever – if Wasteland and Force of Will get cheaper, you shouldn't expect to see the dual lands get expensive by more than the other cards that are getting reprinted get cheaper, because if it's now – if it used to cost $2,000 to buy a deck and it now costs $2,500 to buy a deck, well, more people aren't buying in now because it got more expensive. I mean, that should keep a lid on prices, I think.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thought. Now, Modern's an example where it actually did get more expensive because the interest – overflowed, and it wasn't just people being kept out because of the price. Once they,
that may have been for factors not limited to the printing of Modern Masters, but
here's my take on that. If the price goes up due to demand, that means more people are buying the card, more people are getting the card. That means a demand has sucked up that extra supply of the cards that now have an extra supply. And that means that the extra demand is there for the cards that don't have a higher supply. So that's why those prices go up. That means that the direct cause of prices increasing are more people playing Legacy. That's the freaking goal of that's the goal.
Right. Yes.
We got there, everybody. We did it.
No. Right. And one of the things that people mistake a lot is availability versus price. And Tarmogoyf is the one that I always point to in Modern Masters 1, because people look at it and say, oh, Tarmogoyf didn't drop – price didn't drop at all. Modern Masters 1 was a complete failure, blah, blah, blah. they ignore the fact that there are actually more Tarmogoyfs in the world.
I'm
more people
that that
have
true.
Tarmogoyfs.
The result of a reprint, yes.
Yeah, like the fact that the price on the internet doesn't change doesn't mean that fewer people are playing or that modern is you know, as hard as ever you get into, because some right. number of people who before could not play opened up a Tarmogoyf and traded for another and bought two more, and the price right. online didn't change, but now another person has their playset. And it'll be the same way with Eternal Masters.
Right. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it this way. You know, trust me, Drew and I are not big Magic finance guys. Like, we have substantial collections, but we're not doing this to make money. We're not selling, you know, I've got
love
some
love of the game.
Well, you know, I've got two Legacy decks. I've got some reserve list cards. If those prices go up, cool, but I'm never selling. So that's not it. It did occur to me, though.
I might sell some of my expensive cards to buy other cards.
If I ever get rid of, like, my one extra dual land that I have – and by extra, I mean I have two of one of them. So, and who needs more than one of a dual land? It would be to get the dual lands I'm missing. Like, that would be the only reason I'd give away my dual land.
In Jamie's case, the extra dual land is a blue dual land, and obviously, I mean, there's no way that he's ever playing blue in Legacy, so it really is pretty superfluous.
Yeah, but I can't get rid of all of them. They were a gift from my sister.
Also, you play Commander, and you have a five-color Slivers deck.
That's because everyone
then you're that guy playing duels in Commander.
Yeah.
That's the downside there.
It's actually really funny. Specifically, Drew has ragged on me on where I used, back before the Fetchland reprints, an Onslaught fetch land to fetch a blue-black dual land, and yet I was playing with a beat-up Sedge Sliver because I was too cheap to buy a near-mint one.
Right, yes. Well, and Sedge Sliver actually is like $8 now, but at the time it was like
$2.
It's
expensive
because
of modern.
I can save 15 cents by buying the played one.
Yeah, no, that was saving 15 cents. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. But the point of that is I realized our show has as its indirect goal increasing the cost of Legacy.
Right.
Which is terrible to think of that way, and I've never thought about that way until kind of just now. But we're wanting to get more people to play Legacy because we think it is an accessible format, at least a lot more accessible than it's made out to be. We think it's fun. We want more opportunities for us and our friends and everybody else to play. If more people came into Legacy and there were no reprints, the price would go up. There'd be a higher demand and no higher supply. This is going to help that increased demand happen because people are talking about it. People will see it. People will have it in their hands and own Force of Wills. And it will also help fight against that increase of price that would come from the new people coming in. So this doesn't fix all the problems. It doesn't make everything cheap. And it certainly doesn't make everything free, which there's some people so nutty that they really suggest that. And, you know, they want.
Surely a lot of people want every card to be a dollar.
Yeah, no, yeah. I want to own every card, but I don't want every card to be a dollar. That's a completely different experience and type of game, and that's not elitism. I want these for me still. I don't want to buy them for a dollar. That's its own complicated thing and is weird. And
we're getting maybe a little we've wandered maybe a little bit off the track here. So in terms of the financial impact of it, what do you see happening, Corbin? I mean, is this current spike, are the prices going to stay here? Are they going to keep going back up? Is this an overcorrection? They're going to come back down? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, this is actually a really complicated situation. It's hard to predict. And again, I'll go back to Modern Masters 1 because that's the best precedent we have. Yeah. People look at it and say, well, you know, Tarmogoyf didn't change in price because we got more Tarmogoyfs. So a lot of people look at Force of Will at Mythic and say, oh, well, the same thing's going to happen. The issue is when somebody opened a Tarmogoyf in Modern Masters 1, they're opening the most expensive card in the format, the thing that made it difficult to get into. If you open a Force of Will in Eternal Masters, now you need a bunch of $300 dual lands. And I think that's actually a very big difference. So I think that whereas opening a Tarmogoyf in Modern Masters 1 maybe led you to play Modern, people who can't afford dual not going to be able to afford dual lands because they open up a Force of Will. They're going to sell the Force of Will either for Modern cards or Standard cards or whatever. It's just going to be sort of like an expedition. It's this nice perk But it's not necessarily going to lead them to get into a format because it's not the most expensive thing. You know, when you have your Tarmogoyf, it's like, oh, everything's downhill from here. But that's not the case when you have Force of Wills. So I actually think that it will lead to more of a price depression on the mythic staples in Eternal Masters than it did in Modern Masters. So I think that prices of things, and this is just a theory because we truly have no precedent. We don't know how it'll work, but I think it will lead to Force of Will's price coming down, especially once you add in the fact that its current price is due to scarcity issues simply because of how old it is. I think that some of the prices of the staples are going to come down as a result of this set. But then, of course, there's a question of the print run and all of that. But I mean, that's just my impressions and, you know, essentially a guess is that we will see the price on some of the reprinted staples come down, even if reserve list stuff continues to go up.
The other thing that I think part of the reason that Modern Masters coincided with a big increase in interest in playing Modern is that not only did they reprint Modern Masters around that time, but also shortly after that, the Shocklands had just been reprinted, and then they started to rotate out of Standard, and people wanted to do something with all of their Shocklands.
Right.
Well, those are good in Modern. And hey, they just reprinted all of these other Modern staples. I should buy in a Modern.
And we had Fetchlands not long after
and then,
that.
Right,
as well.
And then they reprinted Fetchlands, and then Modern shot up again. But, you know, if they don't reprint the dual lands, which we know that they won't, we're not going to see anything exactly like that. I mean, I think there will certainly be a surge of interest. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything on the scale of what happened with Modern, just because so many of the key cards, like you said, $300 dual lands are still going to be a fact of life for the foreseeable future.
Right.
And
a lot of people look at it and say, well, why are they even bothering doing this then? It's not going to make the format more accessible because of these dual lands, so why even bother? Just ignoring the fact that sometimes Wizards just print sets that are going to be popular and Eternal Masters is a slam dunk, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
there's no conspiracy to it.
Speaking of conspiracy, they did make right. another announcement just now, like today, that Conspiracy 2 is coming out. Did you not know this, Drew?
No, I missed this announcement. Oh.
Conspiracy 2 is coming out.
Wow. News.
Which I did just hear on the most recent Brainstorm Brewery, them saying, oh, I wish they had just done Conspiracy 2 instead. They could have reprinted
new cards. We had no knowledge, I promise.
Okay, yeah. But
when hashtag the truth is out there.
Is that also this summer?
August.
Yeah, like August. a month apart. It's
oh, wow.
My poor empty wallet.
All right, well, time to put on my tin hat for a minute here. I mean, so there's been a speculation for a long time. You know, they can't reprint the dual lands or the other reserve list cards exactly as they have printed them before. But there's nothing that stops them from printing really similar stuff.
Continue. Sorry.
So I mean, for one rumor that's been floating around, obviously all of this is completely baseless stuff that people just say on the internet, is that, you know, they could reprint dual lands that would be just legendary, for example. And I mean, my legacy deck only has one of each of the dual lands that it runs. It would not matter at all if these were legendary. Even for people who have, you know, four of them, I mean, you know, at least one of them could be legendary. This would be a functional increase in the supply of dual lands. But they can't reprint this in Eternal Masters because that's all reprints. But Conspiracy note, though, these cards are all legal in Legacy and Vintage. So, I mean, if you were going to reprint, I think, you know, if you just reprinted a legendary Tundra, that would probably be too good for Standard. I mean, that would be a problem. It'd also be a problem in Modern. I really don't want Modern to have fetches and duels. But you could reprint it. You could print it in Conspiracy, though, and then it just goes straight into Legacy and Vintage and Commander where it needs to be. And that would be wonderful.
I would love to see that. However, I'm gonna rip your tin hat off and speak some truth at you. So everything I'm about to say depresses me, but I'm gonna say it. They have pushed the boundaries on the reserve list at least once. There's a card called Fork, which basically says copy yes. target spell, yes. and that's on the reserve list. Then in M10 or something, they printed Reverberate, which yes. is two red, same cost, counter copy target spell. The only difference is that one of them makes the copied spell red and the other doesn't. I think that's the only difference. Yeah. Mark Rosewater has said that was closer than they're comfortable with and that they don't plan on doing anything like that in the future.
I actually didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Yes. He said that rather recently, and I saw a link to it. He also said that if you did Time Walk or something as an arcane spell, that would get around the
– Oh, man. You could reprint all the sorceries as arcane. Oh,
you could. I never thought of that. But it would violate, quote, the spirit of the reserve list, end quote. We are not going to violate the spirit of the reserve list.
That's the dumbest thing ever. Fire Mark Rosewater.
Yeah, I will tell you that this is not his decision, right? Has to be a legal thing.
Oh, no, yeah, he has been on record as not liking it and being unhappy that they have it and being unhappy that he can't talk about why they have it and being unhappy that he can't talk about why he can't talk about why they can't have it. I may have responded back with a picture from Star Wars telling him that he was the chosen one who was supposed to bring balance. I'm just disappointed. I just hoped for
No balance, please. Balance is broken. Card's really good.
Not on the reserve list, though.
It's not.
So
probably not going to be reprinted in that. That would be miserable.
So I would love that. I would love it, and I think that would be really a perfect thing. Legendary duels, I think, are the perfect answer because they're strictly worse. So yes. The value of your regular duels wouldn't tank, but they are good enough for most people. Now, people who've listened to our show know we are big proponents of you can do this budget. We're big proponents of you can probably just use Shocklands in most
decks. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Not all. And we're going to hit that topic again later, but you can get around these things. You don't need duels to play Legacy. You don't need duels to play Legacy. But
we have duels to play Legacy.
So I am excited to see what they do. This would be a good opportunity for them to print something useful for those reserve list replacements. But they are not going to, at least this soon, do anything that close.
Yeah, well, maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. Anyway,
a man can dream.
Sorry to break that on you. Yeah. Before we go any further, I do want to thank our sponsor. As we said, we are hosted on both of our podcasts are hosted on Gathering Magic, which is a wonderful source for podcasts and articles and reviews and news updates. Also, CoolStuffInc.com, which is their host, their sponsor and ours as well, to get all cards and figurines and all kinds of board games. A really good selection. We do have a special sponsor just for this episode, though, Lemur Industries. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen any lemurs. They only come from a certain part of the world, but they are adorable. They're like mini monkeys. They're like if monkeys were more adorable. And they used to have a center in North Carolina. I think they still do. I knew people work there. I got to go. I got to see their big beady eyes. It's great.
I've been there, too. They're adorable.
Lemur Industries is here to send lemurs to your house. According to this press release, the lemurs will descend from above on your enemies and rip the flesh from their bones. That must be a typo. This next one says that the lemurs will have the flesh come off of their bones.
This podcast took a turn.
I maybe have misread this. Lemur Industries is here to vanquish all of your foes by sending the ghosts of the unhappy dead into their homes in the night. Lemur Industries knows that nobody knows how to pronounce it, especially magic artists. But we are here to make sure that those people who have wronged you and pronounced it wrong, even podcast hosts, we don't need to read the rest. Lemur Industries for all of your flesh-rending needs. Moving on, everybody. Come on. Let's go back to the show.
If Jamie's not here for next episode, we know what happened.
we do have more than we want to talk about, but I think we need to wrap up now. And I'd love to be able to have you back on, Corbin, because I know that you have to go, and we are about at the – time limit of our show. So is there anything else that you want to talk about on this topic before we sign off?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. I would just say to anybody out there considering it, even if you don't think you're going to get into Legacy, take a shot at Eternal Masters. It's probably going to be a fun draft format. Worst case scenario, maybe you get open something pretty cool and trade it for something you do want. So I'm looking forward to it, and I truly hope that it does lead to more people being able to play the format. You know, prices may not change, but if more people are playing Magic, that's where we want to be.
Last parting note, as of this Thursday, the 25th, If people have the extra income, what should they buy? Go.
Right now, I would look at standard staples that you think are going to be good on rotation, especially Battle for Zendikar and Oath of the Gatewatch things. You're putting me on the spot, but I think that's the best I've got. Honestly, Modern is a terrible format right now, due to the, you know, the Eldrazi menace. So I don't think that that's where you want to be right now. And we don't know what's in Eternal Master. So outside of saying, hey, look at the reserve list, it's really hard to speculate there. So, I'd actually look at where most people are sort of taking for granted right now. And that's standard. We are just a couple months away from Shadows over Innistrad, at which point we will have a renewed interest in standard and the opportunity for cards from Battle for Zendikar or possibly even Dragons of Tarkir and Origins, to go up a little more. So that's where I'd be looking right now.
All right. Well, how can people get in touch with you? How can they find your podcast? I know you said it was on Gathering Magic, but go ahead and give your details.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. You guys can find me on Twitter at chostler88, same as on Twitch for that. Brainstorm Brewery is on Gathering Magic every Friday, and we post it a day early if you're a member on mtgprice.com, which is where I write articles. You can also see me make a cameo in the background of the camera shot for most event coverage these days for Wizards of the Coast. So I'm the guy typing on the computer.
Great.
But thank you again, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. As always, I'm available at jamie7keller@gmail.com and on Twitter. If you are confused by any of the cards we mentioned, hit me up and I'll fill you in on the details.
And I'm mtgdrewwalton@gmail.com. We haven't done a banned card of the day. I don't know if you guys
Corbin needs to go. We will do that we'll do that after he's gone.
Yeah, bonus content. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And until next time, everybody, remember, preparation is the best legacy weapon. Thanks.
The banned card of the day is Mana Drain.
Surprise.
Surprise, right. So Mana Drain is almost exactly like Counterspell. It costs 2 blue, it's an instant, and it says counter target spell. Except that then at the beginning of your next main phase, you add X colorless mana to your mana pool, where X is the converted mana cost of the spell that you countered. So it's just a strictly better Counterspell.
So, we have already talked about how Counterspell is pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's actually really funny to me. This was initially a potential downside because there was Mana Burn.
Mana Burn, yeah.
So if you countered a big spell and you didn't have something to do with it the next turn, okay, well, you're taking 5, 6, 7 damage, which a Counterspell that also deals you 7 damage is pretty bad. But A, you're never going to take 7 damage. You're going to use the stupid mana for something. And B,
gotten rid of Mana Burn.
Yeah. So,
but see, even when there was Mana Burn, this was still way better than Counterspell. This was a stupid, stupid good card. It's a vintage staple, and it's really good. Hope it gets reprinted.
It also has really weird art. Looks like
it does have a really weird art. It's like jellyfish or something.
I've never been able to figure out exactly what it is. It looks like some sort of jellyfish. Is it going down a drain?
I think it's just a jellyfish in its natural habitat.
Is that what magic looks like when it's sucked? Is the essence of magic actually just jellyfish? But like, you know, you let the water out and then they deflate. Is that what spells deflate into, is a jellyfish?
That's really deep there. I don't know.
What color is magic itself?
Color is the essence of wetness.
Your words, I don't think they do the things that you're hoping that they do.